This morning's reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 27 to 35. If you have a church Bible, that's on page 1012. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning. So we're thinking about faith and we're thinking about Peter. Now, to get the ball rolling, I thought about, right, what demonstrations of faith can I think of that will help us start to wrestle the old question of what faith is? Now, the first one that came to mind, we're going to watch a video clip for 2 minutes. This is the American Hollywood's version of what faith looks like. And then we'll look at the Bible's version of what faith looks like. So you might have seen this clip before in relation to faith, but no apologies, it's so powerful. Can we just see that, Joe? Thank you. So here is Indiana Jones's version of demonstrating faith. I'll tell you what, should we forget the Hollywood version? If it's not working, we'll just go to the better one, the Bible version, shall we? Oh, sorry about that. If when you get home, have a look at it. It's a brilliant clip. But, okay, so that was one demonstration that... If we can get it working later, we'll try, shall we? Yeah. Okay, well, should we park that? Thanks, Joe. Never mind. Isn't IT wonderful? So, okay, so that's one demonstration of faith that didn't come out very well. But another demonstration of faith that you've all showed this morning... Congratulations to everyone. I'd like to compliment you on your tremendous, remarkable display of faith you've shown. Every one of you today have got unshakable confidence and faith. Do you accept that? Yeah? Did you check your chair before you sat on it? Did you check it was made right and it was all in place? No? You sat down on that chair with great confidence, didn't you? Did you check the plans of this building before you came in? Did you make sure the roof was right and been put on right? No? You took faith in the builders, yeah? Did you check your car engine this morning, make sure there's oil and there's... Well, you should do that anyway, but did you check it had been put together right? No. Every one of you today have shown complete, total, unshakable confidence and faith. Which a dictionary describes the word faith as meaning complete trust or confidence in someone or something. So, as Marcus has mentioned, today we're starting our new sermon series on Peter, who, as you most of you will know, is a key character in the Bible. And we're more particularly, we're thinking about Peter's faith in Jesus. So let's just remind ourselves of who Peter was. And the part he had to play in the Gospels. We know from the Gospels that Peter, or Simon Peter, who was originally known, was one of Jesus' closest friends. He was one of the three apostles that Jesus chose to accompany him in some of the most dramatic events of his career. What do we call it, a career? Of his ministry. When he went up on the mountain and he was transfigured, when these disciples saw Jesus as he truly was, Peter was there. And when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter was there. So Peter clearly knew who Jesus was, and he'd been with him and walked with him closely since the beginning of his earthly ministry. Another follower called John Mark spent time with Peter, and John Mark subsequently wrote down Peter's memories and accounts of his time with Jesus, and this became Mark's gospel, from which today's passage was taken. And this gospel splits pretty well into two parts. The first part described Jesus' ministry in spreading the good news about the kingdom of heaven and the new life that was available through him by redemption through the forgiveness of sins and baptism into the Holy Spirit. And the Mark's gospel is exciting, it's powerful, it's quick, that there's many instances of healings, exorcisms, miracles over nature, and other examples of Jesus' wonderful love for the people around him as the kingdom advanced through Jesus' actions. If you were there, you can imagine it was heady times, wonderful, exciting times to be following this amazing man. But, and the chapter that we've just read, almost exactly halfway through the gospel, a major turning point came at a place called Caesarea Philippi. And today's passage captures that moment. And suddenly there was a big cloud cast over the group. Jesus asked the disciples a two-part question. First, he asked the people who the people in the crowds thought he was. His followers discussed it and they said to him, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, one of the prophets." Can you hear the confusion? Can you hear the uncertainty? And then Jesus made it more personal. "Who do you say I am?" And Peter's answer, as we just heard, was very plain. "You are the Messiah." And this demonstrated to Jesus that Simon had received a revelation directly from God as to the true identity of who Jesus really was. Matthew's gospel goes a bit further. Chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus actually replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Jesus then knew, his followers understood who he was, and that the next phase of his ministry could start, which is part two of the gospel, his journey to Jerusalem and his subsequent suffering, death and resurrection. And this came as a real hammer blow to them. We'll come back to that, but first let us just consider faith and our own faith journeys. What is faith? Do you remember the dictionary definition? Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. That's a starting point. But the Bible itself gives us a better definition of faith that is more specific. Hebrews 11:1 states, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." I'll just say that again, it's so important that. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And the rest of chapter 11 is a catalogue of demonstrations of faith by the Old Testament. It's well worth reading through if you find time later today. But isn't it strange or even remarkable to us, looking back on these events with the benefit of hindsight, that within the Gospels, even Jesus' own followers who spent day after day with him displayed elements of doubt as to Jesus was. We know very well from the account of doubting Thomas, who would not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead until he had actually met the risen Jesus, based on the hearsay of his fellow apostles. Now, Kate went into a lot more detail on this a few weeks ago, and if I'd recommend that you listen to that talk. If you've heard it once, listen to it again. It's a very powerful story of a man doubting, and a lot more. I'd recommend you listen to that. Another example of doubting, on the road to Emmaus, on the story that we all know that we hear at Easter time. The two companions were scolded by Jesus when he said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have all that the prophets have spoken." Even when Jesus went back to his Father, he arranged to meet the disciples in Galilee for his ascension. And as he was saying his final words to them, it's recorded that they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Even at that stage, his disciples were doubting. But we do know, in spite of all these doubts, they all eventually came to complete faith and were prepared to die rather than renounce what they'd seen and believed. Incredible, unshakable faith. So let's just make this a little more personal for ourselves now, for each one of us to think about our own faith. God loves you. Do you realise that? Do you believe that? God loves each and every one of us. And he wants to succeed on our faith journeys. His presence is with us at all times. And he wants to be involved in every single aspect of our lives. So let's just use our imaginations for a moment. And if it helps, perhaps just close your eyes. We know by faith that Jesus is here amongst us. Just imagine the Lord has just walked into the room. He's walking around the congregation now. Just imagine he puts his hand on your shoulder. Just feel the warmth and security as he approaches you. Just spend a moment with the living Lord walking amongst us. Enjoy his presence and just listen to the question he's got to ask you. What about you? Who do you say I am? Just have a moment just to think about that. Who do you, my child, say I am? And spend more time with that later. Go and find a quiet time and spend more time with the Lord talking to me on that. So how is your journey of faith right now? Who is Jesus to you right now? Is he someone you think about every Sunday? Is he someone that you speak to each day during a dedicated prayer time? Is he someone you talk to when you need help? Or is he someone that you're in constant communion with? Would you like to see your faith increased? I'd suggest that the best way to see your faith grow is to spend more time with Jesus and get to know him better. Faith is a wonderful thing. But it's not the faith that needs to grow. It's the one that we have the faith in and our time with him that will help our faith grow. A daily prayer time will help, and regular Bible reading or study will help us to get to know him more. And when we're in prayer, try to make space to allow Jesus to speak to you. Jesus is alive and active and longs to spend time talking to you. When we pray, our prayers should be based on an expectation that they will be heard and answered. Jesus said this about prayer in Mark 11. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when Jesus was talking about mountains, he was talking about problems. So any problems that we've got, he can deal with them for us. He can make that mountain move. So trust him to help that mountain move. I'd also recommend that you're completely honest with the Lord in prayer. God knows what's in our hearts. And if we have doubts about any aspect of our faith, take them to God in prayer through Jesus. He will help us to address and answer them. And remember that Jesus, as has already been said, has complete control of our lives. Anything that happens to us will be fully known by him. There's no such thing as a surprise for God. We know, we get surprised by things and shaken, but nothing is a surprise to him. Everything that ever happens in our lives, it's allowed for a reason, for our benefit. God works for the good of those who love him, those who he's called according to his purposes. We might not understand difficulties, but it can be in our most trying times that our faith and trust in Christ will grow stronger. And one other important aspect of faith for us to consider is described in Romans 5 by Paul. Therefore, since we've been justified by through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access into faith, into this grace in which we now stand. We have been justified through faith. We've been put right with God, just as if nothing had ever been wrong. Justified. We've been put right. He's given us his beautiful righteousness. We have peace with God. Just think about that. God, the Almighty, the glorious, the victorious Father. We've got peace with him. He wants us to approach him. We no longer stand as sinful people who are unable to approach the glorious Lord. But we stand as forgiven and redeemed children, much loved by a loving Father who loves us. And all made possible by Jesus' work on the cross. And we'll hear more about that as the sermon series continues. Shall we just pray for a moment? Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of faith through which you are able to come and live in our hearts. Come to us now, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts, that we may see you more clearly, that we may love you more dearly and follow you, Lord, more nearly. Increase our faith, Lord, and give us the confidence and trust in you to proclaim your name to our friends and neighbours and to work to see your kingdom come here in this place. And let this continue, Lord, through this day and through the rest of our lives. Let our faith increase, Lord. Let our faith increase and become more and more in our lives as we become less. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.